Hey, West Liberty, this is Wid. You are listening to College Radio, and we are passionately vocal. Today, we have a special guest, my favorite teacher, Dr. Ryan McCullough. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Wid. How are you?
All right, so he recently became a doctor. How was that experience?
It was a long experience, I guess. Unlike the majority of professors here at West Liberty University, I did not have my PhD when I was hired here.
PhD, like, how long does that take?
Okay, so PhD, it depends. Normally, a student will have 2 to 3 years of coursework, and then, that's after I've already completed my undergraduate degree and my master's.
So it's like you do the 4 years and then you do 3 extra years?
Well, so no, for me, it took me 4.5 years to complete my undergraduate degree. I finished my master's in 3 semesters. So I did my undergraduate and my master's in 6 years.
Right.
And then I started a PhD program at the University of Kentucky many years ago. But it wasn't the right program for me, so I only did a semester. But by the time I started at Duquesne University, it actually took me 3.5 years of coursework, and then the significant amount of time to write the PhD. So in total, it took me about 7 years to complete the PhD.
Oh,
some people finish a lot sooner. Some people are like, Dr. Melman Brightwell, who was a communication professor, but she left us for another institution. She finished hers in like 3 years straight. So it people
3 years like master's and
No. Her PhD.
Okay.
Her PhD, she finished it in 3 years. And a lot of other people do that. It just took me a little bit longer given the nature of the project and life circumstances and all that good stuff. So it feels good to not have to do it anymore. So I cannot go to school for communication anymore. So it feels good to be done with it.
Okay. So how did you end up like teaching?
Okay. So I ended up. I always had kind of an inclination that I wanted to teach. It started actually both my parents are educators,
right.
So it kind of like runs in the family, so to speak. But I knew that I kind of had an inclination that I wanted to teach when I was in high school. For anybody who went to Wheeling Park High School and participated in speech and debate, I was on the speech and debate team at Wheeling Park High School, and like they brought in like middle school kids for us to teach. Like on how to do speech and debate, and I really enjoyed doing that. I thought it was a lot of fun getting to teach them. So I was like, this is something I want to do. And then as I was finishing my undergraduate degree at Marshall University, the opportunity presented itself to get my master's in communication, and I got a graduate assistantship as a teaching assistant, teaching public speaking courses at Marshall while I was working on my master's degree. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed working with students, so I just stuck with it, and I got hired here at West Liberty. And so, it was one of those things where it's. I considered some other things, but it was the right job for me.
Right.
I just like working with, especially adult students, people like you,
yeah.
who can ask interesting questions and can present interesting ideas. I respect the heck out of elementary school teachers and high school teachers and middle school teachers. I don't know how you teach like someone in eighth grade. They're all nuts, but I respect the heck out of them. But I really enjoy working with students your age, adults.
Right. Yeah. So like coming to your class, like I've never been like in a learning setting where it's like everybody's opinion is not necessarily like it matters what you're saying. So everybody can like necessarily learn like.
Uh-huh.
So, like, when you'll ask us what our opinions are, like, on whatever topic, so you can, like, continue to I've never been in, like, a style,
mm-hmm.
like of teaching and learning that way, and it's been the most beneficial to me.
Well, I appreciate that.
So, like, how did you, get that learning style?
Sure.
And, like, where did you learn it from?
Sure. So, I mean, in all honesty, we're at kind of a benefit here at West Liberty that our course, our class sizes or so small where you can actually have that type of back and forth. You know, in our class, we have 12 people. If you have more than 20 people, it's really hard to do that. Right. And you end up having like more lecture style type of courses. So, we're benefited by it. It's a little bit smaller classes. Well, honestly, that's the type of I teach the way that I teach based upon the professors that I like the most. Right. And the professors that I like the most were the ones who were, you know, engaged us and try to meet us on the content and ask what we thought about particular ideas and ask for insights on, you know, the course material rather than, you know, I guess one of the things that I always think about is that, like, class can be, not always, and not every class, but class can be a conversation. Right. And so I think, you know, thinking about, and it can't just be a conversation about anything, but if we all come in having read the material with questions to ask, that a conversation can kind of flow from that. And that's really what I hope. And I understand that, you know, that learning style, you might really enjoy it with. Like, I have other students that hate it. They'd much rather just, you know, sit and just kind of and listen or, get material in the other way. And I understand both perspectives. But I think in an upper division class like that one, like media theory, where we're dealing with some ideas that aren't necessarily always like, you know, X, Y, and Z, like 2 + 2 = 4 type of things, I think it's nice to have a back and forth discussion because, you know, the other thing too is like, not everything I say and not everything the researchers that we're reading should be taken as gospel. Right. They're ideas that should be tested, and the best way that you can test ideas is through conversation. So I learned it from, you know, other professors that I've had, and I just enjoy, and mostly I enjoy hearing what you all have to say, because otherwise everything becomes a frame of reference that I'm presenting. You know what I mean? Yeah. They all become like my examples, and I want you to come up with like your own examples about like how this material relates to your life. Because my experiences are, you know, I mean, obviously we share some similar qualities, but we also are quite different. So I'm interested in hearing what you have to say.
Right, to like put us in like not necessarily an uncomfortable position, but most of us are not used to like talking in a class and like our like opinion on whatever is how you further like the conversation in the class. So I know I was not used to that at all, but it puts you in an uncomfortable position, like, and you just got to learn, like.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, and you know, I'm not, you know, I don't want anybody to have to like say something that they don't want to say. I'm not trying to force that, but I think like the biggest thing is like.
No, but that's the thing. Like, there's not necessarily a wrong thing to say.
No, there's not. I think the biggest thing is just like I want the material to. I want you to be able to think about how you can use the material and the material to matter to you.
Right.
If it's just a monologue and me talking the whole time, then I'm just demonstrating like how the material matters to me, but I'm interested in also in terms of how the material matters to you.
Okay, so like you being a professor and like you being like a student, once a student, like how do you feel like college has changed, like?
Oh boy! I mean, we've talked about this like in our class about like the technological changes, right? So, I mean, obviously, that's like, the biggest difference between, you know, me being an undergraduate and like, you know, from 1999 to 2005, right? So obviously, the technological changes, you know, and I think, you know, I was very, I think one of the things too is that there's. I think there are greater pressures on students these days in terms of, two things. Number one, I think there are greater financial pressures these days that students have. I think a lot of the 2008 financial crisis did a lot to kind of change how universities were funded. Right. The cost of education has gone up. I can tell you that we as professors, we don't see the increase in the cost of education, but the cost of education has gone up. So I think, you know, a lot of ways students nowadays have far greater pressure in terms of the financial aspect of college. I think the second thing is that I feel maybe I'm wrong on this, but I feel that there's a lot more pressure on students now when they enter college that they have to have an exact plan of where they want to be in 4 years.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I mean, I feel like you all, I think students nowadays, or students your age, right, you're probably being like asked to pick your career when you're in middle school.
Yeah.
Like, and so, you know, I remember, you know, like I thought in middle school I wanted to be a physical therapist, but I didn't feel that pressure. Maybe, you know, I grew up in a family environment where I didn't feel that pressure, but like I feel a lot of days students feel like the day one that they enter that they have to complete this exact degree and get this exact job, where a lot of times, like, one of the joys of education is you can go and explore things that you enjoy. You don't always have to go from that A to B to C type of path.
I think that comes from, like, the world is becoming more competitive. So
yeah.
It's like, all right, so, like, you got to sit here and you got to focus on this, or, mm-hmm. all right, somebody's going to probably outwork you or something like that. That's where I think it comes from. But we necessarily don't have, like, the time to just be like, all right, well, let me just slow down and figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think, you know, there's a lot of talk about like the notion of like rise and grind culture,
right.
Like and like the idea that you got to like wake up and you got to be like doing things all the time and like this.
Which nothing's wrong with.
Yeah, nothing's wrong with hard work, but ultimately you have to have like a purpose for that, you know.
Right.
And so and that purpose doesn't have to be like I'm going to get this particular job. I think, you know, I just feel that students. You know, aside from technological changes, I feel just that students are asked earlier and earlier to have a clear and set plan for what their life's supposed to be like. And I can tell you, you know, life is a very kind of jagged path where you go in different directions. And,
right.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with not knowing where you want to be when you're 18 years old. Like, I didn't.
Most people don't.
No. Like... It's yeah. You're 18 and you don't know much. But I'm 41 and I don't know much. I don't even know my age. Anyway, yeah. But anyway.
All right. So West Liberty, we're gonna take a short break. We'll be back on WGLZ.
You are listening to WGLZ 91.55, the most live, most bumping radio station on the hilltop. We are college radio. We are passionately vocal.
Okay, so we're back on WGLZ. So, like, I know this is like backtracking to what we was talking about in the beginning of the interview, but like, what were some of like the challenges you faced, like going into school, like knowing you kind of wanted to be a teacher,
yeah,
and like persevering through that, like,
yeah,
and not going like swaying somewhere different.
Yeah, I mean, you know, most of my, I mean, honestly, I, my challenges in, I honestly didn't. I was very lucky in a lot of ways. As I mentioned, you know, both of my parents were educators, and so you know, they supported me throughout my education in a lot of different ways. And so I was very, very lucky in that regard. And they knew that they wanted me to go to college at a very young age, and so like I was very lucky in that regard. I was very lucky as an undergraduate to earn a scholarship. I actually earned a scholarship for debate to compete on the debate team at Marshall, and I was very lucky to have those opportunities. So I want to be very clear, like I'm there. I know that a lot of students, you know, at West Liberty probably have gone through much greater struggles than I ever had, and I'm very reluctant to say that I struggled, because I felt like I had a lot of advantages, both in terms of, you know, my parents were educators, so they understood what college would be like for me, and I kind of had a sense of what college would be like. So I would feel like it'd be unfair to equate, you know, my experiences with the experiences of people here at West Liberty, because they're a little bit different. I would say that, you know, most of my struggles in terms of like education, if you will, were what I did, you know, after I finished my master's degree and figuring out how to teach effectively. That's where my struggles in the education came on. But if you want to, like, if you're looking for more like advice type of things, I mean, I just think it's always difficult to find a balance between, you know, doing the work that you need to do and, you know, having a social life. Because, you know, listen, there's nothing wrong with having a social life in college. I did, and I think every student should. So I think it's always that struggle of figuring out what's the right balance. And I think you go through ebbs and flows where you're maybe focused more on school at some points, but not others. But I think the biggest thing is just to seek balance in your life no matter what.
Right. So, like, as a professor or a student, like, what do you feel like, or who you felt like feel like inspired you or like impacted you the most?
Obviously, I've not to repeat this, but too many times, but it was my parents. I mean, like, I think they were the greatest inspiration in terms of how to live a life as an educator, and how to, you know, in the importance of ultimately education is about helping other people. And so I think that in a lot of ways they inspired me. And I had a number of great instructors in high school. You know, again, anybody who went to Wheeling Park High School would know the name Bill Cornforth, who was a very generous teacher, was a great inspiration as to, you know, how to, you know, build a relationship with students and how to interact with students. I had a number of great professors at Marshall University and a number of great professors at Duquesne University. But in a lot of ways, right, I'm also just inspired by students like you, Wid, who, you know, and your interests, and I get inspired to teach students who want to put in the work and that are interested by the ideas and have interesting things to say. So you all inspire me as well. It's not just, you know, being inspired at a young age. You'll find, I think, you know, as you go through life, you'll find additional people who will inspire you.
Yeah. All right. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So this is West Liberty. This is WGLZ. We are College Radio, and we are passionately vocal. Thank you for coming. Ryan McCullough, Dr. McCullough, you feel me? All right, so we are College Radio, and we are passionately vocal.